Hello, you lovely lot. I wanted to take a moment to share an exciting announcement with you all. I will be doing a live show for Happy Mum, Happy Baby at the Podcast Show in London on the 22nd of May. This will be a live episode of this very podcast featuring me and a very special, soon to be announced, guest. Get ready for a candid conversation, unfiltered truths, laughs, invaluable non-judgmental advice, and lived experiences. Dive into the complexities of parenting while juggling work, relationships, and personal growth. And we'll be talking beyond the baby years. As well as the live episode, the show will also include a Q&A with both me and my guest. Tickets go on sale this Friday the 26th of April at 10 a.m, but anyone who is part of the Happy Mum Happy Baby newsletter will be getting early access to tickets on Wednesday the 24th of April at 10 a.m. To sign up to the newsletter and for more information about the event, please head to happymumhappybaby.com/events. I can't wait to see you there.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Episode of Happy Mum, Happy Baby, the podcast. So today's guest, well, she's kind of made this whole series possible, really, because she sponsored it with her amazing brand, Peanut. It is the co-founder and CEO, Michelle Kennedy.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm all right, thanks. How are you?
I feel good. I feel very excited today. I'm not sure why.
I'm really excited to be here. Thanks for having me. I'm like blushing. It's really exciting.
And you listen to podcasts a lot. You listen to
all the time. I have terrible insomnia. I'm really bad sleeper, and so podcasts are genuinely the only way I can kind of relax and turn my brain off and switch off. So I am an avid listener.
I also think that with podcasts as well, for me, whenever I'm in sort of mum mode, being able to do a school run or whatever and having voices in my head that are adults, it's like having a conversation but not.
It's so important. Actually, before anything to do with Peanut, and when I was kind of really, really lonely at that kind of my first baby, I started listening to Serial. Do you remember that podcast?
I've never listened to it, but it's quite...
Is
amazing. It quite dark?
It's quite dark. Okay. Not gonna lie. But it is great. Because I needed to hear an adult voice and I needed to have... It just made me feel like there were people around me, even though it was one Sarah Koenig. But it was important to me. So I really believe in the power of kind of spoken word and being able to listen to people's conversations.
It's so good. I think otherwise you're just in baby talk and everything shuts down a little
bit. That's right. And you actually weirdly start having conversations in your own head that will never, ever come to fruition. So at least to be able to hear someone else's real conversations, very important.
It is. I can't talk to the mirror anymore. I need to actually talk to people.
Yeah.
What was your childhood like?
Oh, my childhood. It was cool. It was fine. I grew up in Peterborough. My Dad is an electrician, so he was always like up at four, out the door at 4:30, like very, very kind of hardworking work ethic. Mum was always juggling jobs around me, so like part-time work effectively while I was at school and then going off to do whatever it was, ballet or something, and she would kind of juggle things around me. It was a bit weird. Mum and dad weren't together, so, but we lived in somewhat of an unconventional way. We all lived in the same house, just leading
separate
lives.
Were they ever together? Not
from when I was like quite young.
Right.
So yeah, quite unconventional in many ways, but you know, it's all I knew. But I had the best group of friends. They're still my friends now. We all live in London together. And that part of my life is like super happy. Because they're still all around me, and yeah, that's my life. But, you know, my mum was very, very education. You must work hard. I was definitely very geeky at school, and that was okay with me because, again, it made mum happy, which got her off my back. My mum's like a very strong Irish woman, and you just don't mess with her. So if she told you to work hard, you work hard. And that was it. That was life. And I loved it. And then I moved to London, and it was like a whole new world. Everything was different here. Yeah, of course.
How long ago did you move to London?
So I actually trained in Newcastle. So after uni, I went to Newcastle. I lived up in Newcastle for ages, where everyone's gorgeous and so sweet and so nice. Moved down to London, no one spoke to me. I was like, why does no one talk to each other?
They don't have a nice accent. They don't talk to anyone.
I remember smiling at someone on the tube, and literally they turned away, and I was like, wow, must remember not to smile at anyone that I don't know. Whereas on the metro, everyone would smile at you. So anyway, that was a totally different. But I moved down to London when I was 24.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 37 today. So anyway.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. So a while ago.
Yeah. And what did you always think about starting a family? Was that always something that you kind of thought was going to be in your future?
Yeah, really good question. Actually, not so much. I mean, I wouldn't have ever described myself as very maternal.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely didn't ever have that feeling of I really want to like jump in and have babies. I was kind of scared of children a little bit, to be honest.
What about them scared you?
Well, I'm an only child.
Of course, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So okay. I didn't grow up with like little ones around me. Like my mum's family were mostly in Ireland. My dad's family were mostly in Scotland. So it wasn't like I had cousins around me or what have you. Like the people who were around me were my friends and my peers. So I didn't really know that world necessarily. And so there was a long time where I didn't really think about it. I really super focused on my career. Thanks, Mum. So that was like the one thing that I was really absolute about. But I wasn't really thinking about children. And then when I had Finn, everything changed, of course. And now I'm obsessed. I could be at an event and all I'm doing is taking pictures of the baby. So everyone's like, hi. That's not okay, Michelle. Now I love them. And it's
was
so strange.
Was it meeting Rich that changed your outlook on it?
Yeah, I don't know. I think so. I think there was that moment where I was with him and I was like, it'd be great if we had our own little person together. Richard's got kids, like big kids.
Okay.
So there was probably that moment where it was like, maybe it would be nice for us to have a baby. But apart from that, I don't know how much of it was maybe just this is what you do.
Yeah.
You get married and you have a baby. And there might have been an element of that.
Because it's all anyone ever asks you. If you're single, it's like, when are you going to get a boyfriend?
Yeah.
Then you have a boyfriend, it's like, when are you going to get married? Then you get married, it's like, when are you going to have a baby? Then you have one, it's like, when are you going to have another one?
That's exactly it. And are you done? That's all I get now. I've got two. Are you done? So
is anyone going to ask us about the menopause? Or is that just a thing that no one asks?
Well, no one talks about that. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
We should start talking about that, actually.
Yeah.
But there were just, I suppose there was an element of, this is the way my life will go now. And this is kind of how it's written. And then it happened and I would never, ever, 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 ever change it. But at that time, you know, it was hard for me as well. I just probably got to a place in my career where I felt very much like this is good and I know
what position
I'm doing.
Were you in?
So I was general counsel at Badoo, which is a big dating platform. So I was kind of the head lawyer and kind of had built out all the teams and I loved it. Like the only woman who was like in the leadership team, and I really, really loved it. And then I got pregnant and everyone's like, she's gonna be a mom. you know, and it was quite like awkward. It's all these young tech bros and me going to be a mom. And it, everything changed a little bit, but there was so much within that that changed that is, you know, I could never imagine life without it now.
But then going from that sort of career woman and then finding yourself pregnant and then suddenly, in pregnancy even, you're kind of out of control of what's happening to your body.
It's very, very hard. My pregnancy with Finn in hindsight was actually very, very easy and I was very lucky and I would never ever moan about it having had the pregnancy with Nuala, which was horrific.
Really?
So I can never ever, like, Finn was very easy when
I can remember your pregnancy post actually.
Oh my goodness. Like, I was so ill with Nuala pretty much for the whole time. It was awful. But with Finn, I actually felt good. I felt fine. And I think that you're coming to terms with so many things and like changes in your body and you are more tired. You can't do everything you want to. But there was one day I was walking through Soho. I was using a BlackBerry. Cool. Woman in tech. And I was typing on my BlackBerry and I fell over. There was a pot in the road and I fell over bump first and I couldn't get up. I was very pregnant. I mean, it was very stupid. Yeah. And I was crying. I had to call someone from my office to come and get me. And then I had to ask this hairdresser who was standing outside having a smoke to help me up because I couldn't stand up. And it was a big wake up call. I basically had to wear the robo boot. You know, when you do your ankle in?
Oh, yeah.
For the last like 3 weeks of my pregnancy. And there was a debate about whether I would have to wear it during birth.
Oh,
which I did.
Oh, my God.
But that was a real like wake up call where I was like, stop it. You're being selfish. And also, this is embarrassing because now you're pregnant with a robo boot.
I had a robo boot in my third pregnancy.
How awful is it? So embarrassing. You're already waddling and now you've got like the robo waddle. I mean, the whole thing was just awful. So that was not ideal. And then he came and
what was your labour like?
Well, I didn't have labour because I had an emergency C-section.
Did you?
He didn't engage. So he was massive. Like Finn was just under 10 pounds. He was a really big boy and he wasn't engaging. And I'd done acupuncture. I was late and I'd done acupuncture. I'd done everything. And I sat down and the consultant was like, I think this isn't going to happen for you. Like in the way that you have planned out.
Yeah.
And so that was it. I had an emergency C later that
day. How did you feel? Because some people are like, that's fine, whatever, you know, get the baby out. And some people it weighs heavily.
I felt really rubbish. Felt very much like I'd failed. Felt really hard. It was hard. Breastfeeding was hard when he arrived and whether that's because of, you know, the birth as well. And it all felt very, very challenging because at each step it felt like, I got that wrong. I didn't get it right. And it's so funny because when I had Nuala, I planned my C-section because I wasn't going to go through that again. She popped out. That was all very nice. Popped her on the boob. I was very chilled out. So it is this like unbelievable pressure that we put on ourselves to do what we think is right. And there is no right.
Like, but also this time around, you've had the experience of talking to so many more mums.
Absolutely.
And understanding that actually there is no right way. And we're all like the judgment that we feel is mostly on ourselves.
That's
like
it.
From ourselves.
But also now there are people like you who do podcasts like this where we talk about things that wasn't happening when I had Finn. There was a different conversation, you know. Now, you know, there is no reason that any woman should feel on her own or she should feel like she's the only woman who's experienced something, or she should feel like she's a bad mom or doing things wrong, because she only has to, you know, turn on her podcast and listen to this or to read something online or to go and speak to other women to find out she's not on her own.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, 7 years ago, I didn't have that. I very much felt like there was a different expectation of women, and I put an unrealistic one on myself for sure.
How did you find those first few weeks?
Just awful. Terrifying. Your body is all over the place. My milk didn't come in for ages, so I just had these like little rock hard bullets for ages.
Oh, and it hurts so
much. Painful. Got mastitis. That wasn't ideal. Finn did not want to latch. Not great. And it was Christmas time, so we had lots and lots and lots of visitors coming around because it was Christmas as well. And then January came, everyone disappeared and went back to work. It was very dark and grey and cold. And I was like, wow, it's just me and this tiny dude. And he doesn't do a huge amount. He didn't sleep very well. And it was extremely isolating and very, very hard.
And it's that massive gear change as well, isn't it? It's like you're in London every day, you're boshing it, you're in your career, you've got a team under you and they listen to what you say. And then all of a sudden you're at home, you're on your own, it's bleak outside, the baby will cry and they won't listen to a single word you say because they don't get it. You don't understand them. There's a lack of communication and it feels massively overwhelming.
To try and even get out of the house feels a cross between I really want to do it and I'm terrified to go out of the house because what if he cries or what if I didn't bring the right things with me? Or but there were so many challenges to doing that. I remember one day I used to try and set myself a get to Starbucks. If I can get to Starbucks, everything will be okay that day. I'm like a weirdly superstitious person. So that would be my
like
test.
That. Like yeah, yeah.
If I can get to Starbucks today, it will be a good day. So I remember getting to Starbucks one day and there was an old lady in front of me in the queue. And Finn started crying and she was like, I think someone's hungry. And I just burst into tears because actually I really wanted my coffee. Right? And I really, really was like so desperate to have that coffee. And I was tired and I was going to sit down and feed him. Of course I was, but I just wanted to get my coffee and then do it. And I just felt horribly judged. And
did she see you cry?
Yes. But I think she just probably thought, you know, what's up with her? I mean, it was quite extraordinary for this brave woman to...
it's a funny thing as well, isn't it? Because I think I remember people saying things like that or to their children. So it's that almost that passive comment that happens, oh, the baby's tired or, you know, or, you know, or needs a feed. And you're just like, no, is that right? I don't know. Do you know my baby
how
more than me?
Know? And that was the thing. I felt like, how did she know that Finley was actually needing that? How did she know better than I did? Because I actually didn't know why he was crying at that point. I was actually just going to shove the boob in and hope for the best. Like, I didn't know that that's what it was. So for her to be like, someone's hungry. Yeah. I was like, oh God, like everyone knows better than me at this.
Yeah.
And actually, I think at that point, I really, and it's a horrible thing to say, and I can say it now because I would give anything to spend all day, every day with him and just sniff his little neck and annoy him. But at the time, I couldn't wait to get back to work because I felt like at least I know what I'm doing there.
Yeah.
I'm good at that and I'm not good at this. And maybe I'm just not maternal. That's what kept going on in my head. Maybe I'm just not a mummy person and I'm just, there will be people who are better and I'd call my mum, can you come down and help me? And so there was a lot of that. And it actually, you know, it took until probably Finn was like 5.5, 6 months for us to really get into our swing of, we knew each other. I was the only one who could settle him then. And then we were like with each other, but that took a long time. That was hard.
Yeah. And I think it's, those feelings are so normal.
Yeah.
And so many people have them.
Yeah.
But it's only when people start vocalizing that you kind of realize that you're not on your own. Because in that moment, they feel so massive. And, you know, we talk a lot about maternal mental health. Thankfully, it's becoming more and more. And about the amount of mums who, you know, commit suicide from feeling massively overwhelmed and stuff. And you're kind of like, if these conversations existed, then that wouldn't be, like, they would feel comforted. Because even I now, I've got 3 boys and I feel so overwhelmed at times, just being like, why is no one listening? Why can't I do this?
Yeah, it's so hard. I can't say it enough. If there is a moment where you feel like you're despairing or it's too hard or you're crying or whatever it might be in that moment, and we've all been there, we all know what it feels like. There is nothing wrong, firstly, with putting the baby in the cot and going and get a cup of tea.
Yeah.
Nothing will happen to the baby. And it, like, they might cry and cry and cry, but just if you just need that respite for 2 minutes, 3, go and pee, whatever it is, it's okay. Like, nothing will happen. And there's so much pressure to be this perfect mom. There is nothing is perfect. So that is one thing. And the other thing is, please be brave and tell someone how you feel, because I guarantee they will have felt it too. And it is so hard, you know, that the amount of expectation that we have on ourselves is so damaging, and it will damage your relationship with your baby because you start to resent them at certain points or feel frustrated by them. And ultimately, you are everything to them.
Yeah.
And to them, you are perfect.
I always find it amazing how you can have the best day and then one thing, like one meltdown, can bring the whole day down. Oh. In the same way, you can have a day that's full of meltdowns and full of, you know, being at loggerheads and stuff, and then just that one beautiful kiss before bedtime, that's or right. that one little giggle, and that flips the day around.
Anything, all of those moments, you have to try and remember them as well, because I think I'm a person who thinks I overthink everything a lot. So I have a tendency to think about, okay, so what happened there? And did I deal with that thing right? Did that person say that? Like I do overanalyze everything. And you can't overanalyze with these babies. Like everything can change within an hour. Mm-hmm. And I think I fell into it very much with Finn, where I'd overanalyze everything. Is he okay? Was that normal? Is he happy? That feels like maybe that's a sign of something else. And I really did do that a lot. And I have to say, with Nuala, like, motherhood has been so different for me this time round. And partly because I've got Finley and he's amazing and just so edible. But secondly, because I'm not questioning it with Nuala, because she has to be her own little person. And that means that sometimes she cries and there isn't really a reason for it. And that's okay. And I'm not going to stress out about it. And if someone tells me in Starbucks that she looks hungry, I'm just going to smile politely and carry on and get my coffee, because I don't care.
I think there is a thing, though, that most of us who have, like, have two or three children will look back to ourselves with the single child and go, why did I find that so hard? But then I also understand it, because it was all so new and everything was overwhelming. And I think it did come at a time where you had to be perfect and you had to present everything as perfect, because that's where this came from. Because I was just like, why is everyone else getting it right and I'm not?
And you're getting it wrong. And that's the worst thing, like that feeling of failure. There is no failure. Mm. And I think that ultimately we have to think about, you know, when you think back to aspects of your own childhood, was it perfect? Of course it wasn't perfect, but it was your childhood and it's all you knew. So for you, that was life, that was everything. And my mum would sometimes look at me with how I was behaving with Finn, kind of partly like observing me, like kind of fascinated by this obsession that I would have with him, or how I wanted things to be. And she, the amount of times she used to say, will you relax? That was her favourite, will you relax? Her favourite expression. And I didn't relax for a long time. And it meant that there were many aspects of his early like months that I didn't enjoy. Mm-hmm. And you're meant to be able to enjoy this too. Yeah, it sucks when you're tired and you're bored because you haven't spoken to an adult all day, or you're kind of worried sick or whatever it might be. All of those things are really, really hard, but they're also meant to be really enjoyable. Yeah. And you're allowed to feel ups and downs, and neither of those are wrong.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real, frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
How do you juggle it?
Badly.
Like this.
Quite clearly. Really badly, like a zoo. It makes me cringe. It's so hard all the time. And I told overthinker. Yeah. So I might drop Finn at school. So generally speaking, I don't do drop off. So I stay with New in the mornings. Rich drops Finn. He circles back. I pop New down for her nap. Our nanny arrives and I go to work. So Right. That's like the routine every morning. So, you know, you start at like just after 6 and you get everyone up and you like get everyone fed, dress for school, whatever. That's all fine. And I'm trying to do all of those things. And then occasionally we'll switch it so that I do drop off for whatever reason. Maybe I'm trying to get to a meeting early or whatever it is. And a mum might make a comment and she might mean very genuinely, "We don't see you often," because it's true. They don't see me often because I'm with New in the morning. But it's like a razor or a dagger, better word, dagger. And then you think about it for the rest of the day. Yeah. Oh my gosh, I'm an absent mum.
I have to say, I bumped into Angela Scanlon the other day.
Yeah.
And we had a great chat. This is going to be third-hand information. It's going to be naff. But she was talking about, she's seen this post about glass and plastic balls. And we always think when you're a mum, glass balls are family, plastic balls are work. So plastic balls, if you're juggling, don't worry about the plastic balls if they fall. It doesn't matter. The glass balls are the family and they're the ones that matter. But actually, you've got glass balls in work and family. Yeah. And you've got plastic balls in each. And as you're juggling, you've got to realise that there are some plastic balls in the family and they're fine if they fall. A drop-off, it's fine. It's plastic. School nativity, that's glass.
Very good.
I love it.
Very good.
So we're all juggling and actually it doesn't matter. Like you've got to pick where the plastic balls drop from, which pile, but
really,
everything has its
really
priority.
Smart.
I like that.
I like that a lot.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks. I haven't seen the original post, but that's what I've taken about.
That's excellent. I shall now pass that off as my own later today, that wisdom, when I pass that on. If you're a peanut later, I'll be like, "So listen, plastic balls." Look, you don't juggle it, do you? You try your best to juggle it, and sometimes it's okay and sometimes it's not. And I suppose it's just about being okay with the fact that sometimes you're good and sometimes you're less good.
Do you switch either off? You know, the career and the family, they're both running side by side. Mm. Are you ever able to switch one off?
No. Mm. I don't know how to do that, actually. I'm not sure. I mean, there are times that, you know, I can see stuff that's happening at work and I'm distracted by it. I can see it on my phone. It's giving me that like the heartbeat and I'm getting a bit like starting to obsess me. I need to just check it to check that the world isn't on fire or nothing's happening. Or and sometimes you can check it and then it's fine and you can get on with things. And sometimes you check it and it's totally distracting.
Mm-hmm.
I think that for a while I had to do the putting my phone in a different room because it was really genuinely having a very detrimental impact, not just on my sleeping, although it was, but also on my relationship with Rich. Like he would be talking to me and I was partially listening, partially on Slack, partially emailing. It's just rude. And actually, if he was doing it, I'd be furious. Mm. So we did have to do that and I am getting better. I'm not perfect at it. And the one thing I am very clear on, actually, is I don't like using the phone with the kids.
Yeah,
because
I'm the same.
They obsess over what I'm doing on this little magic box. Like, even Nuala's face, she's fascinated because she's like, what's mummy up to?
Yeah.
So I really try not to use it with them.
I usually find that work emails come through about half four. When the kids are home, I'm trying to do dinner. Perfect. Tom's not there. Mm. I'm like, oh, so you do have that anxiety of knowing that you've got to get back to someone, knowing that actually you can't really do it until seven. Because that's when the kids go down. That's when I'm not going to feel guilty for replying.
Yeah.
But you just have that anxious belly until you can.
Well, that's the time. And even last night, I got in, I was late. I missed bedtime last night, which was horrible. So I was late home from work. And so I kind of ran up and gave them both a kiss and ran down. And one of Rich's friends popped over to say hi. Well, that's fine. But now I have to be polite. And in my head, I'm thinking, I wonder when you're going to go because I need to eat and also got work to do. So I'm kind of half smiling, half looking at my phone, really rude, horrible, Michelle, but rudely kind of like partially checking and then occasionally turning it down and then turning it over and turning it down again. And so we had a bit of that and then he left and then we ate and I worked downstairs and I went up and Rich was asleep on the sofa and I was like, today was a bad day. I didn't juggle it right. Like I didn't. But today, you know, my mum's coming down. Like Finn will want to do birthday cake. Like I have to make sure. Yeah. So I have to make sure today I'm going to leave the office properly and I'm going to go and do it properly. And good days, bad days.
Yeah. Though I have to say, I always find that if I'm on my way home and I know I'm going to get home at 10 to 7, I have to think, do I want to go in?
Been here before. Do and I suddenly fake a call?
And everything's really hyper. They don't fall asleep for another hour.
Yeah.
Or do I just hold back?
I know that
one. Know that I get there at 7, they're asleep.
That's right.
It's the hard thing, isn't it? Because you want to be, I'm a mum and I want to see them and I want to give them kisses.
But also, we've all been there because we know how that evening plans out.
Not
it's
well.
Not good. Not a good one. Many a time I've been on a call at the bottom of the driveway, like, not going in at all.
Are those lights off yet?
Yeah, genuinely. Genuinely just hovering, watching my phone, like, feel safe. I'll go for it. Yep, done that.
One thing you have sadly gone through at the moment, recently, is you've lost your mother-in-law.
Yes.
How have you handled that with Finley?
Losing Pamela has been, I've never lost anyone before. I'm kind of lucky to say. And Pamela was the most extraordinary woman because I'm definitely was not the perfect fit for Rich's family at all. We're different religions and he's older than me and we're just very, very different families and there's so many things that don't really make sense, but he and I together make sense and she always really felt that. And she was always just amazing with me and loved me.
Yeah.
Rich is very, or was very, very close to his mum. So we live around the corner from her. And that meant that she was
all the time.
So much part of our lives. Mm. You know, every weekend we were together. Whether that was because they popped in for Saturday afternoon and they'd stay for bedtime, what have you, babysitting, they'd come round. And as Finney got older, he would go for sleepovers there. And going for a sleepover at Grandma and Grandpa was the most fun because basically it just meant Kinder Eggs on tap.
You just have to go, yeah, it's on your watch. I'm not, you deal
so
with it.
So much, yeah. So much. And brioche, lots of brioche. I'd be like, how many brioche are we talking? Four? Always these big eyes, four. So lots of brioche, lots of Kinder and lots of love and lots of fun. And to not have that, she passed away very suddenly. And so she fell very ill on the Thursday and on the Saturday, Finn was meant to be having a sleepover. And so I was trying to deal with Rich being devastated and heartbroken, but also Finley kind of saying, what's wrong with Grandma? Am I still going for my sleepover? Will Grandpa be there? And you know, these very, very innocent questions. Mm. And I did spend some time talking to friends to say, you know, what's the best way of dealing with this? Do I tell him that she's ill?
Mm-hmm.
And then because we knew where inevitably it was going. So do I discuss the fact that she is ill and then that she's passed, or do I wait until she passes and then have the conversation? And you have to do whatever's right for you. Finley's very, very emotionally like intuitive to what's going on. Yeah. Any kid would be when the house is, everyone's, you know, feeling sad and no one's acting normally. And also his big brother is back from uni all of a sudden, and that's strange and amazing. But also his big brother who throws him around the room and tickles him is not doing that. That's, you know, that's alarm bells as well. Yeah. Why isn't Sam doing that? So that was all quite hard. And in the end, I just decided to tell him that Grandma's really, really poorly. And actually, a bad choice of words, I said sick. Right. Grandma's really, really sick. So in Finn is very literal. So that meant sick. Did she eat something bad? What did she eat? Has she got a tummy bug? And there were lots of, and I was, no.
Lots more questions.
I meant poorly. But because of what she ate, what did she eat? And, you know, there was a lot of that kind of, and then I had to explain. And then when she passed, and there's lots of stuff that kind of just pops up along the way. Is she in the ground, though? Will the worms get her? And lots of, and that's quite hard for Rich, because every time one of those questions, like the tears were coming down his face. And actually, Sophie Solaria, goddess of all knowledge, said, you have to be careful about talking about heaven, because heaven could be Devon as far as a child is concerned. Like, grandma's gone to heaven feels like a place that you can go to, and actually maybe facts are better. And that made sense to me, particularly given how literal Finn is. So I was like, listen, she's not with us anymore. But if you ever want to talk to her, I feel like she's all around us and you can talk to her whenever you want. And we've got a picture on the coffee table at the moment. And so he's kind of been able to be like, do you want to see my picture, Grandma? In that very kind of straightforward way. And so he is understanding. Questions do pop up. I think it's harder to see Rich's reactions to the questions at the moment because he's so cut up about it. And, you know, all we can do is keep all of the memories alive. You know, Pamela was the kind of person that if you told her you liked something that she bought you 15.
Yep.
So we've got a lot of like repeat items in our house. And so, you know, if ever there's a repeat, we make a joke, or, you know, that must be from grandma. So he's very much like, is that a grandma, when we've got two pairs of the same shorts or whatever. So we're trying to keep all of those things alive. And I hope we do a good job. But so he remembers, because I don't know how much you retain when you're six. But it's very sad to me that Nuala won't know her, because she was amazing. She was wonderful.
It's a funny thing. So my nonna passed away. So Buzz's great-grandma, a couple of years ago now. But Buzz did have a relationship with her, but he was very young.
Right.
So it's quite strange. Like, so I do bring her into conversation. He knows that she's not here anymore. But it's that strange thing, knowing that actually they won't remember that time.
It's quite hard, isn't it? I think I find that harder than him dealing with the loss, because I think he's quite accepting of that.
Yeah.
Because we have tried to be a bit more factual. It's that feeling of, you ache a bit knowing that they might not remember all of the amazing things she did do. And, you know, I tell you one thing that is amazing. Thank goodness we have things like smartphones where you can take a video.
Yeah.
And it's so instant. It's so easy. Because I can find him watching videos of us on Christmas Day this year. You know, we all had Christmas together, and he'll laugh at them. And, you know, the year before when they're doing that pie face game, he can see those, and they're so instant. And thank goodness we have got that. So there are ways, I suppose, but he dealt with it in an incredible way. Kids are amazingly resilient.
It's just hard, isn't it? Because you don't know how to deal with a situation until you're suddenly faced with it. And you're like, I've got no idea.
It's so hard. And no one tells you, you know, how to deal with this stuff. And actually, I was reading on the app about someone who had lost the child's sibling. Basically, she'd lost a child. And so trying to explain that to the sibling. And she was saying that she dealt with it immediately, the moment it happened. Don't leave it. Don't kind of build up to it. You just have to deal with it. And how extraordinarily fortunate we are that we had Pamela in our lives at all, but that it was a grandparent and not a sibling.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are always degrees to everything, and you have to be thankful, I suppose, for the experience that you've had. But yeah, another example of like getting like advice from other women and how
and
they
also,
would deal.
I guess with the app as well, it's having people that you trust but are also a bit removed.
That's right. Sometimes the element of closeness in some elements of conversation is almost too much. Mm. If you want to talk about your partner or a relationship or your sex life or something, your health, and maybe there is an element to which that's too close to home, to be able to have it with someone who, you know you have something in common with and you might shoot the breeze with, but maybe you're not kind of, you know, going to live in each other's pockets. That's okay. Mm. Sometimes you really need that.
Yeah.
Almost more, because also sometimes, you know, we have disagreements or we don't always see eye to eye with the people who are closest to us. So you also need like that sense check for someone to say, yeah, that's normal, or, you know, take a breather. You won't feel like this tomorrow, whatever it is.
Has motherhood surprised you?
Yes. Motherhood's made me so much softer, I think. I think I'm really soft these days. I think definitely I was a bit more, I definitely wasn't as empathetic. I've always been a bit of a softie, but at work, no, I was definitely quite, you know, I'm going to use the term aggressive because I don't know what the word is, but I was focused and I was driven, and I really felt very strongly about things, and that was the way it was going to happen. And motherhood definitely made me look at things differently. I'm more patient with my team because I'm more patient at home, and and actually I get much more from that because I like the experience of working with the team. Listen, my team are so much smarter than me, all of them in every way, that being able to have them be patient with me when they're explaining things to me about why it isn't going the way I thought it was, or that's not quite the right interpretation, Michelle, whatever it might be. That's patience that I've learned from having the children, because we all have the patience of a saint, let's be honest. So that has surprised me. And I think that I'm just a bit more amenable to trying to find the right way to do things. When perhaps before, in my younger years, I didn't necessarily care about the right way to do it. I cared about getting to the right answer.
Yeah.
And now I'm much more about the route than the result.
And that comes from parenting.
I think
because
so.
You try one way, it's not working. You know you have to change
your tack.
You have
to keep changing. Yeah. And so, you know, if you're shouting at your kid repeatedly because they're not going to do something, well, obviously that's not right.
Yeah.
So then you have to, at the moment, we've got a tick reward chart.
Have you?
Yeah. If you put your shoes on without mummy having to say it more than twice, you do get a tick.
So I like it. He's still got twice.
Twice. He gets a second go because, you know, sometimes he can't hear me. I didn't hear you, mummy. So, okay. So there you get a second time.
I asked Buzz the other night, why don't you listen to me when I'm talking to you when you can hear? Well, sometimes you just say boring things.
Oh, wow.
Well, okay, night.
Yeah. Finn actually said to me, it was my voice. Sometimes it's your voice. Thanks, kid. Fuming. Like I grate on him was basically what he was saying. Sometimes it's your voice.
Oh, God.
They're so brutal. They are mercenary.
They are.
They really are.
Yeah. So I've recently written a book called Letters on Motherhood. That's a series of letters on motherhood. If you could write a letter on motherhood, who would it be to and what would it say?
Oh, so it would be to my mum's mum, who I didn't really know very well, my grandma Sarah. So my grandma Sarah was one of 16.
Wow.
Big Irish Catholic family.
Oh, gosh.
My mum is one of 16, I should say. She had 16. Sorry, I didn't say that right.
She had 16 children.
That's right, yeah. So big Irish Catholic family. And so I think I would just ask her about that.
What?
But also, I would like to thank her for whatever she did with my mum, because my mum, genuinely, there are so many things I would never have been in a position to do but for my mum. And, you know, some of that's obvious, I be alive and be here. But she's always been so driven for me and given me a work ethic and made me try hard and believed in me. And is completely selfless in that way. And so I want to be able to make my children have that, and I want to do the same for them. So I suppose it would be to thank for that and to say that I'm trying to do the same for Finley and Lula.
I love that you've gone to the person beyond your mum.
Yeah.
Because you could have thanked your mum, but actually you're thanking the woman that made your mum the person that she
That's
is.
That's right, because my mum won't mind me saying, she will definitely mind me saying, is also, you know, none of us are perfect, but she is a force. And I don't think you become like that by accident.
Yeah.
You know, behind a force is a force, I suppose.
Yeah.
So I would love to do that. And also because I never had the honour of really knowing her.
Yeah. So I end each podcast episode with you answering or finishing three sentences.
Yes.
Being a mum means?
The most unbelievable head-to-toe explosive love.
Since having children, I...
never get to drink hot tea. So annoying. Hate lukewarm tea.
It's horrible.
The worst. Oh. Like dishwater.
Yeah.
Every morning, lukewarm. And then you sip it because you think, oh, and every morning, hate it.
I think tea is worse than coffee as
it
well.
It is. It's much worse. I actually, cold coffee, because you can drink cold coffee.
Yeah.
It's okay. Cold tea, oh, and it leaves that taste.
Furry.
Awful.
Not good. And I'm happy when...
I'm with my friends and family and little faces looking at me, even if my voice is annoying to him.
Thank you so much for coming on. It's been a pure delight.
Thank you so much for having me.
Not at all. And well done on everything that you've created with Peanut. It's amazing to have women speaking and reaching out to each other.
Thank you.
Thank you.